welcome you to another edition of Inside Boxing Live. You know the deal by now. It's Dan Canobio. It's Chris Algieri. We're coming to you from New York City, and we are excited for a fight week that will see Tyson Fury taking on Francis Ngannou. A very special guest joining us in just a mere moment is Ariel Helwani, MMA fighting. You've seen him literally everywhere, big voice in the MMA world. So we'll get his thoughts from an MMA perspective and just an all-around great conversation with Ariel. Chris, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to speak with Ariel Helwani. I mean, he's a fantastic resource in this fight world that we all now live in. And yeah, he's also a really good guy. So this should be fun.
You want to stay for the Fury and Ngannou talk, and then at the end, a very long-winded compliment from Ariel that I handled with pure class. Dignity. Is there any other headlines this week? Let's see. Fury and Ngannou, I feel like, is going to take over soon. That's the biggest fight of the weekend. Haney Progre media tour starting to heat up. We're seeing Haney go around. I'm actually looking forward to that fight. We're in the midst of this,
And they're building it up nice too. They've got like what seems like a genuine, you know, bad blood. You've got the fitness trainer fighting with the father. I mean, there's storylines, and I think that's important. It's tough though, because it's going to go head to head with a couple other pay-per-views that weekend. It's also a tough pay-per-view to sell. So it's boxing punching itself in the face once again, but that's a good fight.
I like that fight. I think it's the best fight remaining on the schedule, because I don't think that Fury Usyk will happen December 23rd.
Agreed.
If that does happen, then that's clearly the best fight. But I would say Bam versus Sonny Edwards, which is not getting any publicity at all. That would be December 16th. December is loaded. December 2nd, Ryan Garcia is back. December 9th, there's Haney Progre. There's Heisman night that's not featuring Teofimo Lopez. I know you guys did a pretty awesome interview with Teofimo on ProBox. Go check that out. So December 9th loaded. There's another one. There's a Showtime pay-per-view that's being trotted out. That's just not great. Mayweather, an exhibition, I believe, against Mikey Garcia.
And then Danny and Thurman in separate bouts.
Thurman versus Stanionis, which I
good
love
fight.
As a fight.
Love that fight.
Don't like
love
it as
a fight. Meaningful fight.
Meaningful fight, yes. The boots, it's like the boots Super Bowl. And then Danny Garcia versus Arizona Lara. I mean, that's
not meaningful fight. Not meaningful fight. It's the opposite. So, but also, I hear they're doing it at 155 for a middleweight title.
Correct.
That burns my blood. I boils
Find
my blood.
Gears.
Good God. How do you get, I don't know what that means. It waters down championships. I hate it so much.
Crazy, man. It's the WBA middleweight championship of the world. It's not even, you know what I mean? It's not even the guy. You know, the guy is probably Janabek. So you're watering it down from that standpoint. Then you're watering it down from the standpoint that it's not even
a weight class. It's not a weight class.
A guy in Laro hasn't fought in a year. A guy in Dan Garcia hasn't fought in a year. It's
still also rumors, 40.
Though. Yeah, it's all rumors. Not that fight card is being reported, but not been announced. But that's December 9th. So a lot going on in the boxing world, but let's get to our conversation with the one and only Ariel Helwani. All right, we got a very special guest here on Inside Boxing Live, Chris. He is from the MMA world. He dabbles in boxing. I'm seeing him more and more in Vegas. We all are. He's interviewing Devin Haney. I think he's a boxing guy now. Ariel Helwani joins the show. What's up, Ariel?
It's so great to be here, my friends. By the way, about time that you guys get an actual boxing expert on the program. So it's good to be here, and it's nice to flex my muscles. But you know how big of a fan I am of this program. It's my favorite boxing podcast. I say that publicly. I say that privately. I listen every time you guys drop an episode. You tell it like it is. Wow. No bias, no agenda. I'm a huge fan. So quite frankly, I'm wondering what took me so long to get the invite, but we can deal with that later.
I was trying to get you in studio in front of the John Boy. Oh.
Okay, I didn't know that.
You're busy. You know, you're running around doing the MMA hour for hours.
Yes.
You're doing everything. No, but our studio is going to the office is pretty impressive. So it would have been nice to get you in there next time you're in New York. But
you don't look like you're in the studio, Chris.
I'm not, but I would fly up for you, bro.
I appreciate that. You're the busiest man in combat sports. I mean, you're calling like 900 fights a week.
Yeah, I've had a good run the past couple months, but yeah, you know, it's good. You're doing what you love.
Yes, and I told some of the John boys around here that Ariel Helwani is joining the show. They were excited.
Wow.
What up?
I'm a baby face at the John Boy.
Get a standing over. Chris gets a standing. We're a clapping company. When people come in, we have guests. Big Bang Zhang came two weeks ago. Ryan Garcia came through. You get standing ovation. So Ariel would get the red carpet if he came to John Boy Enterprise.
Do I have the most standing ovations in John Boy history? Because
I'm going to say yes for the ego.
Because yeah. I can think of at least three or four already. I mean, that's
every time you come through. I mean, yeah. Quarterly Algeria visits gets
right. Yeah, it's about four times a year. Yeah,
love that. Thank you for the kind words, though. I appreciate that very much. The reason we want to have you on is there's a big boxing match this weekend.
Oh yes,
in the Middle East, and it's Francis Ngannou taking on Tyson Fury. We've talked about it a little bit on this show. I'm not the biggest fan of this event. I don't know where the buzz is at from a boxing side. I think it's non-existent because we all want to see Fury in there with Usyk, which we might get at the end of the year. What I want to know from your end is, where is the MMA side? Where are they pro and gone? Are they pro this event? How are you feeling about it? Tell us.
Well, I would say the MMA fans and the MMA community, and dare I say the MMA media, are a little less hoity-toity than you boxing guys, meaning I think we're a little bit more open-minded to these events, even though they usually happen in boxing rings. Typically, when you go to these events, I see predominantly more MMA media faces, even the Jake Paul events, even the crossover events. For some reason, I don't know what it says about us, but it seems as though we are a lot more receptive to it. Perhaps you guys are the old traditional guard and you don't like to see your sport bastardized, and our sport is sort of like the product of a bastardization of all forms of martial arts, and so we're okay with this sort of thing. But to answer the question, no, there's buzz, there's excitement. It helps that there's no UFC event. You know, typically the UFC just finished a stretch of 17 straight weekends of events. It's absurd. 17 straight weekends. There's no UFC this weekend. So all eyes are on Francis. And we've been following. Look, I was arguing with my guys on my show about this. This is the culmination of like a 3 to 4 year storyline. Yep. Because Francis was talking about this story for a while. Then for those that don't know in your audience, he was the heavyweight champion of the world in the UFC, and no one as a champion in the UFC gets to defend their title on the last fight of their deal. They'll usually lock you up. There's usually a champion's clause. There's all kinds of things. But it just so happened that when he fought Ciryl Gane almost two years ago now, he was on the last fight of his deal. And they tried to sign before, and he said, no, I'm going to bet on myself. I want to be free. He fights that fight with a torn ACL. He's down 2 rounds to none. He all of a sudden has to wrestle for the first time in his career, and he wins 3 rounds to 2. Then he has to sit out a year, get surgery. The UFC tries to sign him repeatedly. He says, no. And then in January of this year, they unceremoniously release him, even though they didn't. His time had elapsed, and right. They said, we're releasing, we're washing our hands of him. Then from January to May, and I'm sorry for going long here, but you have to understand why this is such a passionate topic for all of us. From January to May, everyone in the MMA and boxing community slandered this guy, said he made a mistake, said he screwed up, that he fumbled the bag, that he bet on himself the wrong way, X, Y, and Z. Then he comes out in May and says, I've signed with the PFL. And people were like, PFL? This is what you left the UFC for? The PFL, the third organization in the world? This is what you did? And then he hits him with the 1-2, the Tyson Fury fight that everyone from Eddie Hearn to Ellerby to De La Hoya to everyone in the boxing community said there is no chance. He's making a mistake. He's making a mockery of himself. There's no way in hell he's getting this fight. And what does he do? He gets this fight. So in my opinion, he's a winner already. Does that matter come Saturday? No. We want to see him, you know, actually compete. But it's an incredible story when you consider just what he's been through over the past 4 years, let alone where he comes from. Digging up sand dunes as a kid for $1 a day in Cameroon and having to, you know, sleep in a parking lot in France as a homeless man with dreams of being a boxer. It's truly one of the great success stories of my lifetime.
I 100% agree. And I think, Chris, we've talked about this when the news first came out. We did like our instant reaction. And I said, let this be known. This is a major win for Francis Ngannou. He symbolizes everything that's right about being an independent contractor in the fight combat world, where you should get out there and test the open market to see what you really are worth. I think that from the boxing standpoint, I think all boxing fans are in agreement there that this guy deserves this shot. I think he is coming out of this whole thing looking great, looking fine. Let's let a guy finally get what he deserves. From the boxing standpoint, that's the point where it's like, come on, Fury, like we want to see you fight Usyk, we want to see you fight Joshua, we want to see you fight literally everyone. But I think we can be in agreement, right, Chris, that this is a moment to celebrate Ngannou. I'm curious if the MMA world looks at it like that, because I feel like Dana White has such a stronghold on the fans, and he is not, he's public enemy, maybe not number one, but he's up there, Ngannou. But you know what I'm saying, Chris? Like, I feel like Ngannou, at least the boxing fans, is coming out looking like, yeah, he did win this fight before he even stepped in the ring.
No, 1,000%. He definitely is going to be the big winner regardless of what happens. But it couldn't happen to a better guy either. I mean, on top of him being so successful in the cage and being a dominant heavyweight world champion and retiring without losing his actual title in the cage, he's a really good guy. I've met him a few times. I know his coach very well, Eric Nixick. Greg, I've known him for over a decade. And it couldn't happen to a better group of guys. And guys, that, like we said, they bet on themselves and they bet on their skills. And Eric, as a coach, is one of those guys who really cares. He really cares about his charge. He cares about the guys that are under his wing in terms of him as a trainer. And I'm sure he had a lot to do with them going for this fight and believing in themselves and their ability to step outside the box, take a big risk, which is really hard to do as a fighter. Our windows are so small. And I mean, our window to make money. So taking risks where you're going to sit out for any period of time is a really dangerous thing to do. You've got a family to provide for. You've got coaches to provide for. And if you're not fighting, you're not getting paid. And Francis Ngannou took that bet on himself. And listen, it cashed out, man. It's going to cash out Saturday night. Now, what he does with that, we'll see. But that's a whole nother discussion.
And by the way, this isn't like, you know, Devin Haney going from Top Rank to Matchroom. This is leaving the behemoth that is the UFC. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, they are Kleenex. They are, you know, they are Xerox. They are MMA, right? And you leave them as the heavyweight champion of the world. By the way, he made $600,000 in his last title fight as heavyweight champion.
Fury made in the first round. I think Fury made that in the first round of his last fight.
Absurd. And now he's going, God knows what he's making, 10 to 20 million. Who knows about the pay-per-view? And then the deal with PFL on the back end. And look, no one wants to see him get embarrassed. I think I understand, obviously, what you're saying, Dan, about the boxing fans. But there was all kinds of reasons why that fight didn't happen. And I will say this, if I'm Francis and I had him on my show yesterday and he said all the right things, but I know deep down he doesn't feel this way, it was incredibly disrespectful to announce that Usyk fight before this fight. That's a slap in the face. That's spitting in his face.
Why do you think they did? I had my theories because I was live on Morning Combat when that happened and we were trying to figure out why. I think it was to drum up some more excitement in this fight. It's like, oh, if to the casual fan, if Fury doesn't come through this Ngannou fight, you can kiss goodbye the unification or the undisputed with Usyk. Why do you think they announced it that he would be fighting Usyk?
I think Fury got a lot of heat for taking this fight. And they wanted to let everyone know it's okay to support Tyson Fury. It's okay to support this event. Don't worry. The one that you really want is coming up. And Saudi has their reasons as well. They have their Riyadh season. They want to let everyone know that there's going to be this event and there's WWE next week and there's this other thing and this. So they're just trying to like flood the market with all these great events and that's fine. But from a sporting perspective, you don't announce the next fight before the other one has taken place. You maybe put it out there. There's rumors. There's talks. We're close. This and that. Fury wins on October 28th. You do the post-fight interview. You throw to a package, and now's the one that you all wanted. You don't announce it beforehand.
You did that for Golovkin.
I think you're both right. I think it has to do with one spurring up because now you're gonna pull in some of the boxing people. Are gonna be like, I want to see what Fury has going into this Usyk fight because he's been so inactive. We haven't seen him in a year. Is he taking this fight seriously? And again, if he loses this fight, do we really see the Usyk fight? Maybe not, but. But that being said, they want to announce as many things as possible. And I think it spurs up a little more interest. Is it disrespectful to the fighters? Absolutely. But
well, Chris, you said something right there.
If about making money.
If he loses his fight, Chris, you said there's 0% chance. Ariel, do you agree? Like we saw some of the
Fury could twist his ankle, step into the ropes. Stranger things have happened.
He's going to carry him. I think it's going to play out as a grizzled boxing. I usually am the optimist on this show, but Fury is going to carry him. It's going to go into the eighth or ninth round, and then he.
It depends. If Ngannou comes out and is actually dangerous, and he throws something that whizzes by Tyson, and he goes, nope, I'm getting that guy. He's going to get him out of there early.
Does he have that though, Ariel? Does Ngannou? I saw the footage of him sparring. He did look a little slow. I mean, granted, this is not his game. Does he have any chance in this fight?
Sure. He has a puncher's chance. There's no doubt about it. He's a knockout artist. Does he have the speed? No. Would I go and bet my life savings? Obviously not. I'm no dummy.
You even bet on this fight?
No, I don't bet on fights. I think it's a conflict of interest. I may tell people, like, I think this
guy.
You
feel like an absolute piece. Oh, come on, man.
No, it's just, I don't want to have a, like, an emotional.
You give out your stuff, though.
No, I say this, I'm leaning towards this, but I don't actually bet on anything because I shouldn't have any financial or emotional investment.
Okay, all right.
In my opinion. Okay. I guess I'm old school like that. But that being said, if I was betting my life savings, obviously you're thinking twice before putting it on Francis, just given the history of MMA versus boxing in boxing matches and given the matchup here. Tyson is an incredible boxer. If it was Francis versus Deontay Wilder, I'd probably feel a little bit better. If it was Francis against Derek Chisora or Dillian White, I'd feel a little bit better. Tyson's a bad matchup for him. But that being said, am I just gonna, you know, dismiss all his chances like you hoity-toity boxing guys? Absolutely not. I've seen Francis almost knock people's heads off.
Yeah. I've seen it too.
He's saying hoity-toity like it's a negative thing. I'll take that.
Yeah, we've been around a little longer.
Be honest, you look down on these events.
Yes, because the reason we look down on this is ruining the sanctity of the science. That's not us. That's not me. That's never going to be me either. Listen, I collect checks from Jake Paul and MVP. I was never against YouTube boxing.
I don't mean you guys in particular, but that seems to be really, sentiment. Yes. The sentiment, right?
Well, is it though? Because historically, this is not new. This is not new. Muhammad Ali did, wrestling matches and this is not anything new. The problem that boxing fans have with this particular fight is that Tyson currently holds a title and has been so inactive when other fighters could be fighting for that. And we have the option of the Usyk fight, which is a heavyweight unification. That is huge for the sport historically and everything. That's where our big problem comes from. If he was doing this in between having a three fight year where he's defending titles and, you know, he just had a big fight or whatever, then I don't think people would care that much. And I think boxing fans wouldn't feel a certain kind of way like they do about this and might actually tune in.
Well, that's why the Usyk fight came through.
Yeah, maybe.
For that reason right there. That's why I think he's going to be fighting him in December? Probably not. I mean, Fury this week is saying, I want to fight it 10 more times. 2 weeks ago, he was talking about he wanted to retire. Frank Warren is saying, if it was up to me, I would never announce the Usyk fight beforehand. Too much could go wrong. But Tyson Fury, this is what you're dealing with. You're dealing with a guy that changes his mind week to week. But you can bet on this fight. Francis Ngannou is a plus 750 underdog, according to our friends at DraftKings. I'm not telling you to bet. I'm going to do the Ariolani. This is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm thinking. Over 4.5 rounds, minus 110. He's going to carry him like Floyd did with Connor. Carried him. Put on the show. I was there. I loved it. I was so into that show.
How dare you say he carried him? Connor won the first four rounds. I mean,
it was a master punches. Dude, after that fight, that was the biggest fight I ever worked for CompuBox. It was 5 years ago. I was counting McGregor, and I had McGregor landing 110 punches on.
How many of those were knock on the door punches? How many of those?
I'm trying to say, you're questioning the integrity of CompuBox punch counters, Chris.
Just saying, those are the kind of punches he was landing.
He had that one where he just tapped his head that everyone likes to go back to. He landed 100.
Well, he had that uppercut in the first round. That thing was money.
That was money. It was a great punch.
That was a money shot.
To my dad, I was like,
whoa. But then also Floyd went, oh, that's all you got? Ooh, yeah. I'm whooping that ass today.
Yeah. In the seventh round, he stepped on the guest ball, but he landed 110 punches. And I remember Dana White tracked me down. Me and my dad was like, how many did he land? I said 110. He goes, is that more than anyone else? We said, it's more than Pacquiao. It was more than Marquez. It was more than Shane Mosley. First thing Dana White opens with at the press conference. Hello, everybody. A great event. I just want to let everyone know that Conor McGregor landed 110 punches.
Amazing.
Mayweather was more than this, that, and the other. And I don't know where I was going with that, but it was a cool story.
Can I ask you guys a question? Since we're talking about the Furies and Ngannou has no chance, I'll ask Chris this question. Francis Ngannou, Tommy Fury, who wins?
So what you had said earlier about if Ngannou was fighting another heavyweight, you mentioned it, Dillian White or
Chisora.
I would feel a lot more comfortable, just like you said, because I don't think he's a bad fighter at all. I've seen his kickboxing matches. I've seen what he can do in the ring. I know he has fight-ending power. He's got a long reach. He's a big, strong guy. He's been through all the other things we talk about outside of the ring. He has that fighter spirit, and he's been a champion. So there's a lot going into this that you've got to look past just that, but yeah, Tyson, Tommy Fury, and I mean, I don't know if you say you listen to our show, so I don't think that much of him in terms of being a boxer.
Well, so I'm just wondering how much you think of Francis. Like, this is the litmus test right here.
I haven't really seen Francis in a boxing ring. It's so different when you put those shoes on. As a guy who's gone from barefoot kicking to putting on shoes and putting on a hip protector. It makes a big difference in terms of your movement, your ability to throw power punches. I was speaking to Teddy Atlas earlier today, and we were talking about this fight, and he said something great that Customato said. He goes, yes, a guy has power. It's like he's got a bomb in his hand. But if he doesn't have a missile, if he doesn't have a delivery system to get that to where it needs to go, to explode on its target, it's going to land right in front of you and it'll blow you up. It's got nothing for you. So that's going to be the issue. Can he get that fight-ending power to land on target? And I think that's the biggest question.
I can just imagine Teddy saying that.
Teddy has the best analogies.
I'll give him that. Some of his tweets are horrible.
I don't even know if he's writing those tweets, if I'm being honest with
you.
Who
is writing those? I know. Who's writing those tweets?
Harriel, that's a really fair statement. Because
I don't think you think Teddy Atlas is sitting there firing off tweets?
I think a lot of them are drafts that get sent out. Regardless of what happens in the fights, it's his boxing spurned me. I'm a UFC guy. This fight, Dana White Contender Series, is the closest thing I've ever seen to Hagler Hearns. Yeah. And I'm like, why is he doing this? You don't have to do this, Teddy.
I have my theories, but
I talk to Teddy every week. He does not. Yeah, I work with him every week. He does not hate boxing. He's still very much in love with the sport.
I would understand why he would feel the way he would feel about the sport. You know, he gave it his whole life, and then you know he was on ESPN, and then he was talking corruption almost every week. He was going to that well a lot. And ESPN and PBC, when they came in, were like, all right, we don't want this to be the Teddy show. Friday Night Fights was the Teddy show for a while.
I loved it. Holding back. I love the truth tellers, but I can understand why some promoters and
every week,
I mean, when there's corruption, Horn, Pacquiao, all that stuff, he could go off. That's cool.
I always say that we can talk corruption. We can talk negative aspects of boxing on this show every week. I can do 5 hours.
Sure. No, I get that.
I just feel like you should know when to moderation. I feel like it's not Teddy's main thing when it comes to going after.
Who knew Dan had such a beef with Teddy? Sheesh.
Give me a whiskey and I'll talk corruption every single episode.
This is actually the guy that was signing some of these contracts or in the contract that he wanted to get out of, which we should be celebrating in Ngannou, right, Chris?
Yeah, well, that's why I for someone like that to go head-to-head. And listen, I was pretty litigious during my career as well in terms of fighting contracts and promoters, and it made me stand out. I lost a lot of my prime years due to that. So I could be really, you know, angry about this whole thing. But I mean, listen, for Ngannou, I tip my hat. Good for you, brother. I appreciate a guy who goes to bat for himself. And, he made it. He made it. And like I said, couldn't happen to a better guy.
Yeah. And Ariel, I feel like the MMA world is not really keen to the contract disputes and all that. Because when you're in the UFC, usually that's it. That's the pinnacle. You're in the UFC. The only guys that go backwards, I feel like, are the older guys, maybe a Tito Ortiz or Chuck Liddell that goes to another organization. This is all new for MMA fans in terms of a guy like Ngannou leaving and finding, going on the open market and finding his best deal. Are they receptive to that, the fans? Or are they on Team Dana's side where you left the UFC, bro, you're trash?
Yeah, it's a lot of that. They're a weird bunch, yeah. They are very much pro the organization promoter as opposed to the fighter. They tend to side. They're smartening up a little bit, and I don't mean hey, you got to be on the other side to be smart, but they're starting to understand the landscape, the business, how the sausage is made. We used to be sort of blind to all of this 10 years ago. The sport is so young, but 100%. Like I said, like when he left the UFC in January, up until he signed that deal with PFL, it was just a constant stream of Francis screwed up. It wasn't even a let's wait and see.
Right, that's
let's,
the script.
Yeah, it was not even that. And then when he signed with PFL, it was a holy crap, you really screwed up. Because you went from the UFC, you went from the NFL to the USFL. That's how they viewed it. Right. And when he got the Tyson fight, a lot of people shut up. A lot of them shut up. Because he always said, just wait for my boxing announcement. Wait for my boxing announcement. But yes, they take their cues from Dana, good or bad. And you just have to, and maybe that's just the vocal minority on social media. Who knows? But the people that I see, like online and stuff like that, yeah, it's not like I feel like in boxing and the boxing community is sort of prone to say like, nah, that's BS. When it comes to promoters in MMA, it's the complete opposite.
Yeah, you have one. It's that age old question, the debate that we've had, Ariel, numerous times. It's like with MMA, you're getting these great fights week after week. but they're being either underpaid or they don't want to take the fights, they're taking them on short notice. Whereas the one thing boxing fans have, we may not have the most popular combat sport right now, but I hear this from fans all the time. At least our guys are getting paid. Yeah. At least our guys, I'm like, okay, but
yeah, we're boxing fans are fighter first. We are fighter first. And we think that a lot of the hindrance are the promoters and the networks and not so much the fighters. So I think that the boxing fans will side with the fighter more and they want them to get paid. But yeah, I think all the blame for fights not happening happens more on promoters and networks from our side of the street. And because there is no unified, the UFC is the UFC. It's the broadest umbrella of the sport, and that's what everyone knows. Boxing is so fragmented in that way that the fans, they don't have one organization they can look at and be like, and they're doing a good job. That's who's bread and the butter, and that's who's paying everybody. So
it changes year to year. Like we just saw this for next topics. Perfect. Like PBC had the one of the best years in boxing. Like if when we do our year end award show, Chris, I'm pretty sure we're gonna give Showtime the Network of the Year. And they are now out of boxing. Ariel, where do you think PBC goes?
Well, first of all, I mean, it's just crazy. I like imagine telling someone 10 years ago there'd be no HBO boxing, no Showtime boxing. And I've been lucky enough to sort of dabble in both worlds. My first job ever was at HBO as an intern in 2003. And I just couldn't believe that I was working at the home of HBO Sports. My first day on the job as an intern in 2003, I went on a shoot with Roy Jones Jr.
Yep.
And this is 2003 Roy Jones. And I was just in awe. And so to see what's happened to that network and now to see what's happened to Showtime coming off, as you said, one of their best years in a long time, it's heartbreaking. It's absolutely heartbreaking. And, you know, I've done some stuff for DAZN. I enjoy them very much. Obviously, ESPN has their thing as well. But I'm a big proponent of more options for the fighters. I know the fan at home on Saturday eating their Buffalo Wild Wings with their DraftKings. They just want everyone to be under the same umbrella so they could see all the big fights.
Yep.
But I want options. I want leverage. I want places to negotiate. I want all that stuff. So to me, the more places, the better. That's why I actually feel at times that the UK combat scene is a lot healthier than the North American combat scene, because you have the Matchrooms, you have the Queensberries, you have the Boxers, and you have the networks that seem to be backing it, the traditional networks like Sky and TNT Sports, formerly known as BT, that are really backing boxing as opposed to here. I listen to more UK media now than I do North American media, in particular radio. There's a station there called Talk Sport. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Yep.
Like I listen to it taking my kids to school. They're talking about Joe Joyce at like noon. Over there, they're talking. It's crazy how they
get over there.
They're talking about like Daniel Dubois and his sister Caroline Dubois.
That the Simon Jordan vehicle.
Yes, exactly.
Him and Eddie go at it. It's like primetime programming.
It's incredible. Here, I mean, you can't find a single radio station talking about combat, MMA, or boxing. So anyway, it's sad to see, but hopefully, you know, it's cyclical and it comes back. Sounds like Amazon is the one that people are talking about a lot. Amazon has an MMA organization under its umbrella, One Championship. Obviously, they have the NFL. There's rumors about them being interested in the NBA. There's often been rumors of them, you know, trying to build up their sports offerings. So it seems like that could be a place. I've heard from people saying, like, there's just no way they go to DAZN. I have no idea.
That would be wild.
Right?
That would be wild for a number of reasons, because Ellerby, and not so much Espinosa, because he knows he has a very dignified way of talking trash. I think it's a skill. Ellerby has a classic video where, oh, you're talking about DAZN? Dead Zone? None of our fighters were able to fight on an app. But
yeah. They're about to go to an app.
Everything is on an app.
The world has changed there, boss.
Yeah.
The only thing that's not on an app right now in terms of boxing programming is ESPN and Top Rank, and their deal is up, I believe, at the end of 2025. Everything is going the streaming way. I mean, I talked about this last week when we had the news. PBC goes to Amazon, it's probably better for the consumer. It'll probably be a little bit cheaper than if PBC goes to DAZN. PBC goes to DAZN, from a fight standpoint, it's great because they'll have Matchroom, Golden Boy, and PBC underneath one banner. And Chris, what's the hardest? What's the thing that's stopping fights from being made the most? Networks.
I disagree. They're still not going to fight each other.
I was hoping for you to say yes, Dan.
No. You said that the other day, and I wanted to push
Golden
back.
Golden Boy aren't co-promoting?
Push back on it now, then. Why?
Exactly. So Ariel just said it. So Matchroom and Golden Boy are both on the zone. You don't see crossover fights very often.
There should be more urgency now.
You would think, but listen, you're thinking rational thought, bro. This is boxing. we don't do that here.
We're movement. We're seeing, talk about ghostwriting tweets. We're seeing Ryan Garcia come out with, oh, it's time to make a movement. We're seeing Teofimo. We're seeing Crawford quote tweeting Ryan Garcia. It's a fighter's movement. You would think that the promoters would be like, oh, wait, we need the fighters too, because, you know, De La Hoya was talking about it, and Crawford got into a little squabble.
You would think. You would think a lot of things when it comes to boxing and promotion and making fights and what would be good for the health of the sport. But there's a lot of greed, and the guys at the top have all the power. And even if they're on the same network, they could be right next to each other. It's
right.
For them to come across the street and make those fights, I don't know what it's going to take. But being on the same network isn't it? I don't think so.
Something like Showtime shutting its doors. I know it was the writing was on the wall for a while, and it didn't hurt me as much as when HBO did. When HBO left boxing, it was like distraught for like a year.
That's where I won my world title, the HBO one. That
we all
hurt.
Everyone on this right here, all have our ties to HBO. That was a tough one. This one was like, I was numb to it almost. It's almost like, all right.
Well, we knew it was coming.
All right, Showtime's next. All right, what's next? Give me what's next. Is it Amazon? Is it PBC? Excuse me, it's DAZN. But
Peacock. Peacock is, I heard they're throwing their hat in the mix too.
Boxer is on Peacock now. I get to see that. But in a perfect world, in the Optimist Dan world, Matchroom, PBC, and DAZN, excuse me, Matchroom, PBC,
Golden Boy
would all be on DAZN. And in theory, you would think cross-promotional fights, but that price hike is going to be crazy. They're raising DAZN subscription without that being on there. So I don't know where they're going to go. I heard Amazon, but you know, Dan Rayfield's reporting that they're pretty far apart. They could have a deal for right now, for all we know, because that's how Heyman operates. It's an interesting.
There's not that many options, by the way.
Really isn't. Like,
they're not going to ABC, Disney, ESPN, top ranks right there, at least for now. They're not going to CBS. They're out of the business. Fox was just in the business. They're out now.
Yeah, I heard that fell through badly.
Right, yeah.
Heyman was pitting Showtime against Fox.
Right.
He does. Heyman will get three networks, and he'll present the networks a fight, and then he'll have them negotiate against each other. So for a while, Fox was getting the better fights over Showtime. Fox leaves, Showtime gets them all, and now they're out. It's wild.
Yeah, NBC, like we just, you know, they did the deal with Boxer. I don't think that would preclude them from doing a bigger deal, but I don't think that they're interested. And then the only other one that we didn't mention is Apple, which, you know, they have their big MLS deal. It just doesn't seem like the right fit. I mean, could you imagine? It seems strange to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Amazon's the move. I'm like kind of putting all our eggs into one basket here. Like, I'm hoping it's Amazon. I think
imagine
it would be
HBO
good
comes back.
Stop, man! Don't do that to me, Ariel. Oh,
that'd be nuts. Maybe you imagine.
There was talk.
I'd have a party on that one. We'd have a celebrate the resurgence of HBO boxing.
If you think about it, that whole HBO.
Dan, I would quit this podcast and go try and work for HBO.
I would be behind you, next to you. I'd try to be in front of you. I'd push you out of the way to try to get
it. Dan be tripping me from behind.
Yeah.
Get out.
Running to the, it's right here on 6th Avenue. I have a head start. It's right on next to Bryant Park. But for a while, imagine Max was out and running HBO Max in 2017, 2018, and they didn't have that whole merger. They didn't know what they wanted to be for a while, HBO. I still think they might have still been in the business, but the reason why HBO left is because they no longer had a stranglehold on the market. And that coincidentally had to do with Al Heyman. They stopped working with Al Heyman because they were buying overpriced fights. And then I think this is something Lampley told me, or maybe my dad, I was like, so the executives were like, if we're not number one, we're not doing it anymore. Mm-hmm. But now it's so fragmented from HBO. It used to be just HBO and Showtime. Right. That's it. That's the way it was. And now it's just the state of the sport. Ariel, you know, you got to run before we get to go. Let's do a couple quick hitters.
Oh, yeah.
Boxing guy. Now you interviewed Devin Haney. What do you think of Devin Haney? He's a pretty interesting and impressive guy, right?
Oh, I like him a lot. Soft spoken. I think his dad's a great character. I enjoy him very much. He's very fun to watch. I know his last fight was close and controversial. I appreciate the fact, you know, you were talking about like the fighters movement. There is a bit of a fighters movement in that the two biggest fights of the year, I feel like were spurned by the fighters. They were the catalysts in making it happen, right? Tank Garcia, Spence Crawford, they were the ones to say, get the hell out of the way. Let's make this happen. And, you know, Haney leaves Matchroom. He was very happy with Matchroom. He says, yeah, I'll go over there to Top Rank and I'll take Kambosos and I'll go to Australia and then I'll go to Australia again. I love that. And I know some fans were upset that he didn't, you know, take the Shakur Stevenson fight or try to make it happen. To me, Regis Prograis is a great fight for him. Going up to 140 is a very interesting fight and scenario. I love to see someone, you know, take that chance, especially as an undisputed champion. And, you know, who knows? I spoke to him yesterday. He told me about the 25%. I know that's out there already. If it is, in fact, true that the 25% that he was offering is more than what Shakur Stevenson made, if that is true, I'm just saying, that's a crazy thing. Even if it's not true, even if it's a great 25% deal, even if it's that, you can't tell me that Shakur deserves 50-50. You can't, like, that's just insane.
No, he doesn't. Shakur is the better fighter, but Haney has just been proving it.
He's the undisputed champ.
It's track record. He's put on, he's had the fights. He's put on the events. He's put in a little bit more work than Shakur up until this point. But that's these debates that happen in the boxing world, the 25% and you're doing math, and they never get like solved. It just goes on and on and on, an endless cycle now with this fight between Haney and Shakur. I honestly think the fight to make, Chris, I know you would agree here, like, forget Haney Tank at 140, because that was a big headline that came from your show yesterday. It's Shakur versus Tank.
100%.
It's the next big fight in boxing at 135. That's it.
Dude, Shakur is the guy. That's my guy. And when we talk, I want to take it back to that 25% thing. You said never gets fixed, but there's a lot of those we don't hear about. I wish I got 25% against Provodnikov, but I knew I was going to win that fight. And I knew the opportunity that was there, and knew it was a world title fight. I actually had two fights online. It was either Provodnikov or Lucas Matisse. I was going to get paid more to fight Lucas Matisse, which was a good fight for me too, and I liked that fight a lot. But Provodnikov was world champion. So I was taking less money to fight the world champion because I'm beating both of these guys. But I'd rather have a title when I'm done with this and probably fighting the more dangerous guy for less money. So, yeah, there's a lot of that in the sport. A lot of it you never hear about. But, yeah, if you're the guy, man, and you can beat the guy, I've always been, you know, take the short money, get the win. You know, you get robbed, things happen. It's a very risky thing. But we talked about Francis Ngannou betting on himself, right?
Yeah.
Listen, every fighter does that at some point. Yeah. Every fighter's done it throughout their whole career.
So Shakur should have taken it, right?
Yeah, that came out.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
We were in lockstep, me and Chris, like, take that fight, Shakur. What are you doing? Yeah. I would favor you in that fight. I'd favor Shakur over...
I favor him against all those guys. Everybody.
You favor him over Tank?
Tank, yep.
Wow.
I think
that's the close. That's the fight. Ariel, three fights you need to see next year.
Oh, boy. That's a good one, putting me on the spot here. Well, I would say that Fury Usyk has to be there because, I mean, you dangled that carrot in front of us. So if he does get by Ngannou, I don't think it happens in December. That's
I don't
crazy.
Want it to happen December 20th.
No.
Well, it's like a day where I got to help around the house. I got to, like, you know.
It's a fast turnaround.
I kind of dig that. I mean, I'm Jewish, so maybe it doesn't affect me as much, but I kind of dig like a holiday fight.
Well, I do too. I'm with you on that one, Eric. I'm around my family for too much. We're eating way too much food. Let's sit down and vegetate and watch a fight and get excited.
Yes, I dig that. Probably wouldn't want to work it in the middle of a holiday, but I wonder if they threw that date out there just to screw with Ben Eubank, because that was the date that Eddie Hearn was talking about, and be like, you know what I mean? That was the same exact date, and you're not going to put.
Gotta love boxing.
Massive.
If it looks like that's the reason, that's always the reason. Fury Usyk.
Fury Usyk. God, I just said it. I mean, I would like to see Ben Eubank just because it's, you know, I'm telling you, I'm all into the UK fight scene. It's just been such a saga between those two guys. By the time it would happen, it would probably be like a year and a half, 2 years after.
Chris, you will not be on the call of that.
No, but I'll be tuned in. We talked about it leading up to the first fight. We liked that fight.
Yeah, that's shows you the class of Chris Algieri.
No, I thought you handled that very well, and I hated to see that happen. That was messed up. Didn't like that at all. But you handled it like a pro, like a man.
First fight, Ariel.
Well done, well done. God, yeah. Man, Chris just sold me on Shakur Tank.
Yeah,
that's a freaking good fight. But I was gonna say Shakur Haney because I like the bad blood there and I like the stories of the sparring and all that stuff. So it would be nice to see it happen. I feel like now it's going to be harder to make it happen now that he went to Matchroom. Yep. I'll go with Haney Shakur. There's so many. I'm not mentioning freaking Terrence Crawford. I'm not mentioning Naoya Inoue.
Teofimo.
Canelo.
Yeah, Teofimo. And also, I will say, if Katie Taylor wins on November 25th, I'd like to see the rematch against Amanda Serrano.
Yes, thank you. I'll be calling Amanda Serrano this weekend, MVP.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, 12 three-minute rounds. Unprecedented. Her career high is 121 punches thrown in 2 minutes, which is equivalent to 180 punches.
That's so nuts.
It's so nuts. So, like,
from someone who's thrown 137 punches in a 3-minute round, that's so nuts.
She's incredible.
I'm really looking forward to getting down to
who are you working on the call for that one?
Wade Plem.
Oh, sick. You guys are great together.
Thank you. Wade Plem and Paulie. Paulie Molinari.
My guy.
Yeah, so I'm heading down to Orlando. How about this, Ariel? Tomorrow I'm heading to Philly to kick off Conor McGregor's new beer, Forged Irish Stout.
What?
They reached out to John Boy Media and said we would like to work together.
is the Mac Daddy going to be there?
His team says we know 36 hours in advance. We're closing in on 24 hours, so I don't know. His belts will be there. That was in the.
If you want me to put in a call.
Yeah, can you? I know you guys are tight.
I know a guy.
I know you guys are tight. So I'm going from a McGregor event to a Jake Paul event.
That's funny.
Look at
I love
this crossover guy. This guy's crossing over.
He's more crossover than I am. For God's
sake. Exactly.
I want to go the traditional route. You come to this side of the fence. I remember there was for anyone listening out there, this man Dan Canobio is the perfect example of not giving up fighting. I remember talking to you about feeling like you were hitting roadblocks and not getting an opportunity, and no one wants to cover boxing and give. It's great to see you doing this. It's great to see you get these opportunities. I'm a huge fan, and I'm actually very, very impressed that John Boy is smart enough, because I think there's a lot of outlets that are being very stupid when it comes to boxing. They're leaving money on the table. Boxing is a great sport to cover right now. It's so much fun. I enjoy it whenever I can, and we're lucky that we have an outlet like you guys and a show like you guys that actually tells it like it is. So keep it up, and kudos to John Boy. I have no affiliation, obviously, for anyone wondering, but I love to see a big media company show boxing some love, because a lot of idiots out there who are just ignoring it when they shouldn't be.
Amen. I appreciate that very much, Ariel. And me and Chris have been doing a wonderful job bringing boxing to the forefront. It's been a banner year for our
program. Wow, look at Dan saying, I've been doing a wonderful. You're supposed to just take the compliment. You're not supposed to actually compliment yourself.
I said me and Chris.
Oh, gosh.
Me and Chris.
You know what? You're right,
great
Ariel.
Call out,
I have
Ariel.
Been doing
great
a great
call
job.
Out.
Me and Chris have been doing a great job. Did I say I?
You said
no,
Chris,
no.
Chris and I have been doing unbelievable.
It's all, maybe say like it's all Chris. Actually, I'm just writing his.
It's all Chris.
You know, yeah.
We leave
board. The numbers.
Dan left humility at the door this morning, but it's I like it, man. This is boxing.
I'm not good with compliments.
Talk about yourself.
Good,
let's go.
I'm not good with receiving compliments. Ariel, you have been a big supporter of mine since day one. It's helped me a lot in my career. Appreciate that. No more of this lovey-dovey. Howdy. Is that what you said? Hoity-toity.
Hoity-toity. Yeah.
Who wins? Last words. Who wins? Saturday, Fury and Ngannou.
Chris, you go first.
I got Fury. I mean, listen, as great as a fighter as Ngannou is in the cage, I liken it to taking a lion and putting him in a fish tank with a shark. And the lion on the prairie is very, very dangerous, or the tiger, in the jungle, very, very dangerous. But you throw him in a fish tank with a shark, doesn't really stand a chance. So, listen, they're having a boxing match. And again, I'm a big fan of Ngannou, him as a person, as a fighter. But yeah, it's Tyson Fury all day.
Disqualification. Fight ends in disqualification. Big John Fury jumps in. He stomps in the middle of the ring. It implodes. And
he's a scary man.
He is a scary man. I was there on that stage when they were throwing the bottles. I was like, holy crap.
You showed off your defense, Ariel.
Yeah, you saw that?
Saw
a little shoulder roll. Thank you.
Nice.
Mayweather-esque.
Appreciate. I thought it was Hopkins-esque, if I'm being honest. Little Philly shell,
Yeah, just a little.
But of course, the boxing guys would notice that. The MMA guys gave me crap for that. Actually, you mentioned something. Logan Paul's security guard did come in early there. That should have been a DQ for Dylan Danis. So maybe John Fury makes the same mistake. But in the end, come on. No one remembers the person who picked the massive favorite. So I got to go with our guy.
Wow.
Jockey in the world.
Wow. That being said, yeah. You said the plus 700. I'm probably going to put $100 on Ngannou.
Oh, I love it. Really?
Probably.
Why not?
Because you might not bet, but I do. I'll bet.
I love it. I love it.
Unbelievable show. Thank you, Ariel Helwani. Remember it, folks. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs. We're out.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.